We're about to say is there are no chidushim here. This is a well-known topic. The famous minhag of the yeshivas to make a break for kiddush before tikkia shofar and Rosh Hashanah, and then to come back for shofar. This garners a lot of different discussions about why this is okay, why do they do this in yeshivas, and what's the heter in all these things. Just if one wants to read more about these things in English, I saw that Rabbi Eli Ozarowski, who is, wrote an article in the Why You Torah to Go for Rosh Hashanah in Tufshin Ayin Aleph, and then he has one there. And then I also saw that there's a Rabbi Yehuda Spitz, who's a Rebbe in Or Sameach, so he has a very long piece on the Or Sameach website. He has tons and tons of Marim Makomos. You could go down a rabbit hole to discuss all the different things, but we want to discuss the major topic on its own. Before we begin this issue of making a break for Kiddush before Tekiah Shofar, we need to understand that there's a general principle that there's an Isser to eat before any mitzvah that needs to be done within a certain time frame. This is a rule that we find in Kol HaTorah Kula, we find everywhere. So we'll just go through 10 different cases just so you realize how extensive this is. The Mishnah Berurah says a person's not allowed to eat before putting on tefillin, even though you daven shachris without tefillin. Let's say a person didn't have tefillin, and then they got tefillin later, but you daven shachris, you can't eat until you put on tefillin, because there's a mitzvah that has to be done within a certain time frame. The Shulchan Aruch and Reish Lamed Beis says you cannot eat before Mincha Katana, which is the Lechatchila time, the earlier time for Mincha, and you can't have a Suda, which is more than a kibbetz of bread, which is more than about a slice of bread as well. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Lamed Hey, you can't eat before Kriya Shema of Mariv. The Shulchan Aruch and Reish Pei Vav says you can't eat before Musaf. In Tuf Lamed Aleph it says you can't eat before Bedikas Chametz. In Tuf Pei Tes it says you can't eat before Sfiras Omer. In Tuf Reish Nun Beis it says you can't eat before the Tilas Lulav in the morning or any time during the day. In Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph the Magen Avraham says you can't eat before Neros Chanukah as well. In Tuf Reish Tzadi Beis, it says you can't eat before Mikra Megillah, which we're all familiar with, right? Even though the Tinus Esther is over, you still can't eat until you hear the Megillah. That's why it goes even further.
Before light mirrors, what time frame are we talking about? All day you can't eat?
No, once the Zman occurs, meaning once Shkia occurs, you can't eat before you light candles. The Nachas Tzvi, which is the Pischei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch, he has a parish on the Shulchan Aruch called the Nachas Tzvi. So he has the case of, he says the father can't eat before the Bris Milah. Let's say it's a late Milah in the day. He can't eat until he has the Bris Milah. However, he has a Hetzer. What's the Hetzer? If the father's not the one doing the Bris Milah, the Moel is the Shaliach for the father to do the Bris Milah, then it's fine because I have already pushed off my responsibility to somebody else. And therefore, that's the way the father could eat if you have a later Bris Milah in such a case. But what would come out, though, is that the Moel can't eat before he eats, before he does the Bris Milah, in such a case like that. We find a similar idea regarding a Shliach by Bedikas Chametz. Let's say I'm not going to be home for Bedikas Chametz. I send a Shliach. I can eat, but the Shliach can't eat before Bedikas Chametz as well. So we have a Tosefta. This is all based on the comments of the Tosefta in Shabbos. The Tosefta says, Kishem Shemafsik in the Kriya Shema, just like you have to stop to say Shema, if when the time comes, kach mafsikin, so you have to stop for halal if the time comes, tikiya shofar if the time comes, netilas lulav, kol ha mitzvah samur sutor, any mitzvah that we find, you have to stop when the time comes, you have to stop your suda. What's the implication? If you have to stop when the time comes to the mitzvah, you can't even starts, right? If I have to stop when the time comes, then certainly I can't start in the time frame when the mitzvah occurs.
This start a suda. What about a pisa?
So it has to be anything less than a kibbetza of mizonos. It can't be anything that has the status of a suda. Not like a suda in our minds, you know, like three pieces of chicken and a kugel and whatever. We mean anything that's halachic yisud, which means a certain amount of mizonos or bread, a kibbetza of that amount. Fine. So the Shari Tshuva in Tufkuf Pei Dalet cites a Tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov about this interesting case. A person who davened at home because he was ill on Rosh Hashanah, but his children wanted him to eat. Right? You're davening at home. You can't make the shul. And his children say, you know, you got to eat. You're not feeling well. So the father said, how can I eat? I haven't heard shofar yet. And the person who was supposed to come and blow shofar for the person to stop by hadn't come. So they're waiting and waiting. Shofar's not coming. The person is ill. Not ill, but he's feeling weak. So he keeps on saying, I can't eat until you hear shofar. So he told the children he would not eat until you hear shofar. So the children argued, you have to eat. You're not feeling well. Of course you have to eat. So the father became so annoyed at his children that he made a shvua to not eat before tkiya shofar. He said, I had enough of you. I'm making an oath. I'm not going to eat until shofar comes. So whatever the Shvus Yaakov responds is not for right now, but in the Shvus Yaakov's tshuva, it's clear to him that in principle, it's usher to eat before tkiya shofar. What we do about this unique case with the stubborn father, that's another discussion. But it's clear from the Shvus Yaakov, already in the days of the Shari Tshuva, that a person cannot eat before tkiya shofar in a normal case. The Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, this is only in the newest editions of the Shulchan Aruch, the new fancy Machon Yerushalayim editions, these big black editions that now take up 34 volumes. So they have they have a writing of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who writes in the Ateres Zakenim and Tavkuf Peites, De'eno Rishai Lechol Kodem Tkiya Shofar. Black on white, Rabbi Akiva Eger says you can't eat before you hear shofar. The Maharil says that women who are not even chayv min haTorah in tkiya shofar, but women were makabel, they accepted upon themselves the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. We know that women are very careful to come to shul or to find a place to hear shofar in Rosh Hashanah, may not eat before tkiya shofar, even though they don't even have to hear shofar. Since they accept it upon themselves as something they do, they can't eat before they hear shofar. And the poskim note, heter for a woman who's a muberes, a woman who is, you know, pregnant, or a menekes who's nursing, and the Chai Adam seems to support this. The Chai Adam writes in Klufnam Aleph, very clearly, Vim ha'isha tzricha lechol b'shachar, if a woman needs to eat in the morning, tochal kodem ha'tkiyo, she can eat before shofar. Ki b'lav hachem edina peturos, because mi'ikar adin, she's putzer from shofar. Even though women accept it upon themselves as if it's a chova, they have to hear shofar. In the case where they are ill or they're in pain, we can say they didn't accept in such a case. Women who accept upon themselves to hear shofar except when it's annoying. That's what it comes out. But what again do we see from the Chai Adam? Really, in principle, you shouldn't eat before shofar. So we have the Kiv Eger, we have the Chai Adam, we have the Shvus Yaakov. It's pretty clear. We have a Tosefta, 10 places in Shulchan Aruch. So what is this shtick that yeshivas pull? They stop before shofar. Everyone goes down to the lunchroom. They take out some kiddush. They eat a piece of cake. And they go back up. What's going on over here? So there are two essential, there are essentially two heterim, or two reasons why they want to be lenient. We're going to go through both, and we're going to then question both. I don't want to give away the ending, my personal feeling, but we're going to question why those two things might not work. The thing is, achila, in all those cases we discussed, those 10, 11 places in Shulchan Aruch, eating, achila is asar. But te'ima, tasting something, which is not the same thing as eating something, just having a taste of something, is that the same? So perhaps we only allow it for te'ima, eating a little bit. In achila means kibetza, again, about a slice of bread. And if you only eat a kezias, maybe it's not achila. So the hetzer is that the yeshivas, they only have a small piece of cake, not a big piece of cake. So the Magen Avraham writes in Taf Reish Nun Beis that there's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Vav says that Rabbi Chanina would take his esrog and make a ha'etz on it and then use it for mitzvahs lulav. Do we all catch that? He would take his esrog, he would bite it, and make a eitz on it, and then use it for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. There's a lot of questions about that Gemara. Tosos has a lot to say about that, and the Gemara has what to say about that. But we only care about one thing, because Tosos in Sukkah, 10 blot later, asks how we could do this and eat before davening. That's Tosos' question. The fact that he took a bite of his esrog and it wasn't shalem anymore, that's not the problem. How could he eat before davening and be yotze the mitzvah? How could he do such a thing? So Tosfos says, he ate during the day and used it the next day. Meaning he had a bite of the esrog for lunch and then he used it the next morning. So Tosfos says it's not a problem. So says the Magen Avraham, what should have Tosfos said? Tosfos should have said it was just a te'ima, a bite of an esrog. It's not a chila, that's it's a little taste of something. What does it mean that, you know, this is considered, it's not considered a suda? But that's not what Tosfos said. Tosfos comes up, he had it for lunch, and then he used it the next day in the morning. That's what Tosfos says. So says the Magen Avraham, it must be that even tasting before lulav and esrog is usur, or else Tosfos would have given such a reason. So then he says, no. Maybe then the Gemara, it says that he was tavil, that he was tavil. He dunked it, he did something to it. So Magen Rambam says tavil means that he was sitting by a suda, and therefore we could learn that maybe the Gemara holds that eating before lulav is mutzer. So the Magen Rambam leaves it efshar, perhaps only te'ima is allowed, but not actually eating. And that would be a hetzer, just have a bite of cake, and then go back to shofar. Comes the Eliyahu Rabba. The Eliyahu Rabba and the Magen Rambam rarely, they don't always see eye to eye. So this is another case. The Eliyahu Rabba says that the Gemara Masechem says that the waiter at a Seder can be matbil and eat during the Suda. Right? The Seder, the waiter is walking in and out of the Seder. Where is he allowed to eat in the course of the meal? So the Gemara says he's allowed to be matbil and eat. So the Rashbam says that it's talking about not during the time of the Suda. The Lashon of being tovel when it comes to eating means not during the Suda. So Eliyahu Rabba says, no, tavil in the Gemara and Sukkah, that Rabbi Chanina was tavil, the esrog, means that even so, that it happened during that it didn't happen during the Suda. And therefore, since there's no connection to anything in the Suda, so Eliyahu Rabba says, it stands that eating before lulav and esrog, even a bite, would be asr. Who else agrees that even te'ima, even a taste of something before a mitzvah is asr? The Prima Gadim says a person doesn't have a lulav during Sukkos, he can fulfill the mitzvah al shulchano. What does that mean? Al shulchano. So Rashi says that he forgot to take lulav before he ate. He has to stop and take lulav. Right? I'm about to sit down to eat. Oh, I forgot I didn't do mitzvahs lulav and esrog. I have to stop and do the mitzvahs. The Prima Gadim asks why it is a case where. So Rashi says why it has to only be a case where he forgot. Rashi says he forgot that he didn't take the mitzvah lulav and esrog. Then he has to stop and eat. Why that he forgot? So the Prima Gadim says because there's no heter of eating before lulav. Even a bite. And therefore it has to be the only way a person ever would have sat down to eat anything before lulav is if you forgot. Because there's no possible way the person knowingly could eat before the mitzvah of lulav. That's the Prima Gadim. Even te'ima is asr. The Trumas Hadeshin and Koftes says that te'ima is asr before Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis, even tasting. The Magen Avraham says tasting before Kriyas Megillah. And he says you shouldn't be lenient, not even a bite of a granola bar before Kriyas Megillah. Not even a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah says in Tafresh and Beis is also machmor regarding tasting before lulav, and it seems that te'ima should be usr also before shofar. So to say that they're only going to have, you know, a little cube of cake and that's going to be okay to eat. No, te'ima is also usr before mitzos. The Matzah Ephraim writes clearly. Rav Ephraim Zalman Margalios, the major work on the Yom Noraim, writes in Tafkuf Peches that it's usur to eat before shofar unless a person is weak, and if so, he should make kiddush and eat a kezias, and it should be done in private where people don't see it, people won't learn to eat before tekiyah shofar, and it's clear for the Matzah Ephraim, there's no hetzer to eat before shofar. So that is suggestion number one, which we have pushed aside. Second hetzer. The reason we don't eat before mitzos is because of the concern of what? We didn't say this at the beginning. But why don't we eat before mitzos? Because you may miss it. You may get involved. You see a juicy steak, and all of a sudden it's midnight, and it's too late. You missed it. Whatever it is. So that's why we don't do it. So what would be a reasonable heter then? If you set up a shomer, you set up a guard to make sure that you don't forget. So the Rama writes in Reish Lamed Beis that people eat before Minchar Marav all the time. Many people have dinner before Minchar Marav. What's the heter? The Rama says you have a shomer. You have someone who's guarding you. You have an alarm on the phone. You have someone there. Your wife is going to tell you. You have something there reminding you to go do the mitzvah. And therefore there's no issue. And this is based on the Ma'arivayel, who says that there's a concept of a shomer when it comes to doing a mitzvah. So maybe that's the heter, right? What are we going to say? In the yeshivas, there's a guy who stands watch and reminds everyone around the cake, come on everyone, we got to go back and blow shofar. They're not going to forget. If they have something to eat, they make kiddush and eat beforehand. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafresh Samaches that the minhag of Yontif was to eat before, between there was a minhag on Yontif, many communities have a suda between Mincha Marav in the shul. And the Mishnah Berurah says it's improper because you can't eat before Kriyashma Shel Arvis of nighttime. However, he says there's a limud zuchus. What's the limud zchus? And this is based on a gemara in the beginning of Erevin. Dilarabim mid kriya hazi. When you have a lot of people together, what are they going to do? everybody's a yenta, minding everybody else's business, they're going to tell the person, don't forget to do the mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah says we have such a heter. When many, many people are together doing a mitzvah, then they're going to remind eating before a mitzvah, they'll remind one another, and then be able to do the mitzvah, no issue at all. And the tzibur will watch out for one another. This idea that the tzibur will make sure to hear the shofar is explicitly suggested by Rosh Sternbach and Moda Muzman, Min Chelek Aleph, and Simon Dalet. And also, he notes, the entire focus of the day is shofar. Could you imagine a person forgetting to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Mincha Maariv, if people forget, you're going to tell me a person's... We mentioned shofar every other line in the Machzor. A person's going to forget because he was having, you know, a little too much cake that he's going to blow shofar? It can't be. Emas Hadin, Ayom V'Nora is the day. How could we say such a thing? And therefore, certainly, we're not going to forget about the shofar. Now, it's clear that the Mishnah Berurah writes in Taf Resh Nun Beis that a shomer is only for someone who's weak, someone who's ill, and they have to eat something. He should have a shomer. It's a limud zchus. The whole suggestion here is only a limud zchus. It's not lechatchila. Using a shomer is never lechatchila for mitzvos. It's only a bidyeved, which then raises the question, why would an entire yeshiva rely on a bidyeved loophole? Again, someone is weak, someone is sick, they can use a shomer to make sure they don't forget. But a whole yeshiva, you know, 18-year-old bachram, why do they need a hetzer to eat beforehand? Why do they need a shomer? So that is the major suggestion number two. Yeah.
Does anybody discuss the danger of fasting past chatzos?
We will touch upon that right now. So the third issue is the issue of fasting past chatzos. Now, there's an easy way to get around that without having to make kiddush and eat cake. The answer is to take a drink of water before Shacharis. You know davening is going to go long, past chatzos, so you wake up in the morning before Shul, have a drink of water. Almost everyone says you can have water before davening. No more fasting.
That's not fasting. No, there's no calories in there. Why is that not fasting?
Well, I'm saying halakhically. Saying if you got up in the morning on Tisha B'Av and had a drink of water, it still wouldn't be fasting. However you feel afterwards, that's between you and your stomach.
The issur of fasting past chatzos, you're not over it if you
drink
water?
Yeah, you alleviated it.
That's it?
Yeah.
You don't need to eat anything?
No, you drank water. You're good to go.
That's not eating.
Again, caloric-wise, talking to your doctor, that's fine. But in the eyes of halacha, drinking water is enough to break the fast. It's not fasting on Rosh Hashanah. On top of all that, it's a machlokus amongst the Gaonim whether even it's usher to fast on Rosh Hashanah. There were shittas of the Gaonim who say that you're supposed to fast Rosh Hashanah because it's the Yom HaDin. You should fast. So we cite the pasuk in Nehemiah that they should go and enjoy the meal, and therefore that's the hetzer, that's the idea that we say that Yom Tov, that Rosh Hashanah is the day of Simcha, and therefore we make sure to have Suda, we don't fast. That's the halacha. But shittas of Gaonim, you can have water beforehand and figure out a way not to rely on this hetzer. Also, another thing that's often suggested is in yeshivas, they daven much longer than in your average shul, and therefore they get weak by the end of the day, and perhaps that's another hetzer as well. Okay, so this is the machlokas. There are seemingly some people who are melamed zchus, many who are not. The Maharsham writes in the Chelek Aleph and his tshuvas in Siman Aleph, the first tshuva of the Maharsham, may not eat before tekiah shofar unless you are ill. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach and the Halicha Shlomo in Rosh Hashanah was against eating before shofar. He was totally against it. I assume that in Kol Torah they did not eat before tekiah shofar, and they record that he was very bothered by the minhag. He says the entire point of the day is tekiah shofar. That's the whole focus of the day. How could you go and eat something before tekiah shofar? Like pushing it off. Like this is more important. The whole goal is to get to shofar. The whole essence of the day is the blowing of shofar. So you need to have some grape juice or some wine and a piece of cake to hold you over? No, go blow shofar, he said. However, he did note that if a person is weak, you should make kiddush and eat. And he also records that the Brisker Rav made his Baal Tokeya make kiddush and eat before shofar because he wanted him to have strength to blow shofar properly. But in the most cases, certainly no reason to. But let's turn perhaps the most famous antagonist of the minhag of yeshivas, and that was Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was very against it. His tshuvos are printed in the beautiful new edition of the Gevuras Eliyahu by Rabbi Kleinman in Brooklyn. He has three tshuvas there, kufnun ches, kufnun tes, and kuf samach. He found three tshuvas of Rav Henkin when he was against it. And he's very clear. All the points we raised, Rav Henkin makes all those points. I just want to read to you just a fascinating exchange between Rav Gifter and Rav Henkin. So let me read to you Rav Gifter's words. This is a letter that Rav Gifter wrote. Rav Gifter wrote to everyone. He read your book. He heard a shiur. He wrote letters all the time to people and to make certain comments as well. So, let me read Rav Gifter's letter. He heard that Rav Henkin was against it in a very strong way. So Rav Gifter wrote as follows: Ra'isi v'karasi b'hapardes. I saw in the last Torah journal Hapardes, Mamaro Asher Bokosev, you wrote, quote, Shemati shnis pashet minag ra. I heard of this terrible minhag, this bad minhag. La'achol kodim tikei shofar, to eat before shofar. V'dvarav chavutim ha'ela heim pigia b'yeshivas ha'kadoshos. Rav Gifter said to Rav Henkin, you're knocking on the holy yeshivas. Yada nahadros gon sheminhag zel l'ta'om. That this minhag to taste, he said. Nati, to taste. V'lo chas v'shom la'achol l'fnei ha'tekios, before the shofar. Nogu bo yeshivas ha'kadoshos palita. This was the custom in Lithuania. Api ga'onem ha'kadoshel and the holy rabbis b'dorenu. Dor yorud af echad sheyachol amob b'fneim. That nobody in our generation could stand against them. Kenogu betels. In the days of the Rabbanim of Tells, and V'chol Rabose HaKadoshim, all my Rebbeim there, Rav Yosef Leib Blach, and Rav Chaim Rabinovich, Ubatach Yodea, Shekei Nohag HaGon Rav Aaron Kotler, Rav Aaron Kotler did this, V'lo Hinig Zeh Ma'atzma, this wasn't their own, El Shekein Asu B'Slabodka, they did this in Slabodka in the days of Rav Mordechai Epstein, V'agon Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, and Renassin Svi Finkel, V'adua Shekein Haya B'Kelm, they did this in Kelm by Rav Simcha Zissel, the altar of Kelm, and I heard this is also the Minig of Yisrael Salanter. So what do you say? How could you say to minhag ra? This is the holy minhag of yeshivas. V'kol eli yaday din pashut afa pike nagu kein. They knew halacha and they did this. V'v'tachani shagam hadras gon yeda b'tamam and imukam. You also know their reasons as well. V'amadati mishtomeim. And I was stunned. Liros shapalta kulmoso. That your pen spat forward. Al ga'onim akadoshim keila. About these holy rabbis. Sheminhagam hu minhag ra. It's an evil minhag. And he says, and therefore, umitzas ases shall kvod rabosai, the commandment to give honor to my rebbeim, yalitzeni lahagiv hasavar, therefore I need to protest strongly against yours. I want you to keep in mind that Rav Gifter around this time is probably in his 50s, and Rav Henkin is around 90. So you have this 50-year-old Rosh Yeshiva writing to this 90-year-old Rosh Yeshiva who was the major posek in America. V'od bazesh ha'reyesh kama sonei Torah. And Rav Gifter goes further. He says there are people who are against the Torah. Ha'motziyim dibal yeshivas, who say bad things about yeshivas and people who learn in yeshivas. Ha'kadoshos shemisnagim shol al pi ha'shulchan aruch. They say, they're going against the shulchan aruch in the yeshivas. You know, they're learning all day and they're not getting a job. U'kvot taraso b'dvarav ha'imtzi l'mashchasim ha'ele samach v'ez. You're giving them a support. They're going to say, in yeshivas they do all the wrong things. It's not a good place for a fine Jewish boy. Especially that these words came from such a gon and a tzaddik, hamaforsam, who's well known, l'chol avas ha'emes, who knows the truth. Those people who love lying will rely on you, and they'll take these words and twist them around. I request of you, this label you've put on the yeshivas, shalog b'miskaven, it certainly wasn't your intent. You should know, Rav Henkin, that this letter was very hard for me to write. Because I know whose door I'm standing in front of. And I know how lowly I am in front of you. But the honor of my rebbeim and the honor of the yeshivas, lo yisnenu l'shtok, did not allow me to be quiet. Now, Rav Henkin did not back down. He writes back to him. He says, Kvod Rav Mordechai Gifter Shlita Shalom Bracha. Let's get to the point. V'ma'ane l'michtavam b'yom beiz, I got your letter after Yantif, Odos Mashakara, you read what I wrote in Hapardes regarding Tekiya Shofar. Hineyesh Mishnah b'peya. The Mishnah in Peya says, Afilu tishim v'teisha omrim l'chalak. 99 people say one way, ve'echad omer lavuz, and one says the other way, lezeh shomim sh'omer kahalacha. You listen to the one person if he is halachically correct. I'm right. The yeshivas are wrong. I'm sorry, he says. V'chein lehefech, the other way. And he cites the Gra in the Shnos Eliyahu. Haklal mi sh'omer o sh'osa davar afilu im yeshlo p'niya b'davar sh'osa omer imu kahalacha. If a person has something and he's doing l'kahalacha, you have to follow him against everyone else. U'mashik asavti halacha brura. I wrote a halacha. It wasn't a minag. This is a halacha. U'makom hanichu lil hisgader bo. Aval kasavti rak b'tekiyas t'meyushu shem ikar. And then Rav Henkin says the following. I says, it only has to be by Tekiyos Demiyushav, the Tekiyos before Musaf. Efshar Nagu Kach Tekef Acha Tekiyos Demiyushav. Maybe in the yeshivas, they broke for eating after the first Tekiyos. That's fine. Once you get the first 30 in, you're good to go, says Rav Henkin. Maybe that was the minag. I don't know what they do nowadays, but certainly, blow shofar first, and then break, and then go daven musaf. V'zeo kalacha, that's proper. Vito aslicha, he says, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm just fine. Amishmarti amuda, I stood by my guard. Binyan zeh, v'kang b'shar inyanim shinechta v'shmi. And anything else I write, I'll back up. I don't need to apologize to anyone. Yosef Elio Hankin. Fine. Fine. So this idea is cited by other poskim as well, that maybe you should do it after the first tikkios. The idea that there shouldn't be a hefsek, right? We're very careful not to have a hefsek. We always announce, make sure there shouldn't be a hefsek, no talking, no break between the brach and the last. Not to give away a secret, but that's only a minhag. It's only a minhag not to be mafsek in between the tikkios. The Ran writes that al pidin, you can break between the tikkios, but we have a minhag from the Gaonim to not break. Now, you should still not talk in between the two. But if a person is so hungry, so that's a minag. The halacha is not to blow before shofar. It's a minag not to break between the two sets of tekiyos. So have kiddush afterwards, says Rav Henkin. And this is in fact already noted by Rabbi Kiva Eger. There's a sefer psakim v'takanos of Rabbi Kiva Eger, where there was a cholera epidemic. People were very sick. So Rabbi Kiva Eger told them, "Shekol mi shemargish chol shakala b'yoser, the one who doesn't feel even a little bit not well, mechuyav takeif achar tekiyas shofar," says Rabbi Kiva. Go after tekiyas shofar. Tekiyas shofar, if you move at a nice pace, takes that those 30 kolos takes 3 minutes. 5 minutes if you schlep it out. So wait an extra 3-5 minutes, go out, and then eat then. And there was cholera. People were dying and were sick. And he said, you don't feel well, so you do after shofar. That'll be fine. Not a problem at all. Ki tekef achar shachar chal yishav kiddush. He says, you can't do it after shachar. There's a chi of kiddush. V'yavshar lasos ela b'makam suda. You can only do it b'makam suda. He explains the halachas that we know. V'akodim tekiya shofar rak te'ima ba'alma matur. Te'ima is only allowed if a person is ill, he says. Therefore, it's better to do it after those tekiyos. Now, Rav Henkin actually wrote in his tzava. Rav Henkin wrote a will, in his ethical will, and he said that they announced at his funeral, there are three things he wants his Talmidim to be careful about. We all know the three things, because we always talk about Rav Henkin. The first is, you have to say Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael out loud, the Chazan, you shouldn't trail off, because you're cutting off the bracha, and the tzibur has to hear it. That was a big shiur of Rav Henkin. The second was that a man and woman who live together in a civil marriage, or as husband and wife, but they don't have a Jewish marriage, need a get. That was Henkin's famous shita. Rav Moshe argued with him, and you can't eat before the tekiyos. Rav Henkin's three final messages to the world. The Chassam Sofer writes in Yoredeya that you can eat before the tekiyos. Now, this Chassam Sofer is often misquoted. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Hay and Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, writing against Rav Henkin, says, oh, but what about the Chassam Sofer? The Minchas Yitzchak is a Galitzianer, and another Hungarian Rav, the Chassam Sofer, the greatest of Hungarian Ravs, is going to tell you can eat before shofar. Of course he's going to defend him. But that's not what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer is talking about a chola. The Chassam Sofer says someone who's ill can eat before shofar. So even the Chassam Sofer should agree as well. Rabbi Wein, we'll just end with this. Rabbi Wein writes in his memoir, he says that he once went to visit Rav Henkin as when he was very old, and he was suffering already dementia at that state. So Rav Henkin was sitting in a chair, and he was staring blankly ahead, and he was repeating over and over in Yiddish, you can't eat before the tekios, she does require a get. You can't eat before the tekios, she does require a get. Over and over and over again. So Rabbi Wein writes that it was certainly painful to see an individual, an Adam Gadol, in such a situation where the dementia had reached such a point, but also it was inspiring to see that his neshama peeking through that which he held on so tightly and so meaningful came out even when his mind wasn't all there. So at the end of the day, did we defend the minhag of the yeshivas? Not really, but certainly we're not going to be saying anything negative against the yeshivas, but I would say this, certainly balabatim should never walk out from shul to go have kiddush for tzkiyah shofar. That's totally inappropriate. And there's no minhag such in this shul, as far as I know. And therefore, it should not be done. If a person is in a yeshiva where they have such a minhag, you don't have to do it. There's no mitzvah to go and, you know, hold up a mezonos to make a bracha out loud. But if the yeshiva does it, certainly they have what to rely on.